Hey, Geekscapist, Jonathan the Podfather here. And when I first started Geekscape back in 2006, it was just a podcast, but then it grew into a podcast network and a community. And the whole plan was to turn it into a production company so we could make cool films and TV ideas and all sorts of stuff for you guys. We'll always be doing the podcast, but right now I want to let you guys know that we're running a Seed and Spark campaign for one of our first original productions. And this is a co-production with Dweeb Darlings and Fonco Studios called Stalking LeVar. It's a continuation of the web series Stalking LeVar. If you go online, go to YouTube or dweebdarlings.com and look for Stalking LeVar, and you guys will find a pretty fun two seasons of this show. We're going to make a short film out of it, but we're going to need your help. So go to seedandspark.com, search Stalking LeVar, as in LeVar Burton, and you'll find our project. Listen, if you can't donate, it's okay. Just follow and share. That'll help us out a whole lot. And then if you can donate, as some of your fellow Geekscapers have, we'd appreciate that too. The campaign's going to be running for a while, so I really, really appreciate you guys checking it out, and enjoy the rest of this show.
Finally did it. We watched an entire trilogy on this show. It seems appropriate that we watch this movie now that Brian's on the show, since the franchise is mostly based on our actual lives. So let's start talking about Basket Case 3 before I snap and try to sew him back onto me on Horror Movie Night. So this was my pick. Not a shock to anybody who's been listening that I was like insistent that we would cover all three Basket Case movies in the 3 years that we did the show, because I think that all three of them are prime movies for Horror Movie Night. They are all equally bizarre and weird and kind of charming. This one is definitely the worst of the franchise, but I'm ready to talk about this movie. I know you guys have mixed feelings about it, but whatever. Brian's girlfriend liked it, so that means that there's at least one person on my team.
She also likes me, so you can't really take what she likes.
Yeah, she's got kind of bad...
Yeah.
She doesn't have a good like radar as far as quality.
Yeah. Well, this movie starts off with giving me the ability to fast forward the first 5 minutes, because the first 5 minutes is the last 5 minutes of Basket Case 2. So I can just skip. So the movie starts off genuinely with Dwayne is locked in a sane asylum that just happens to be in the basement of Grandma's house.
Yes.
And they removed Belial shortly after he sewed him back on. And now Belial no longer talks to him. And it's upsetting Dwayne. But they have to go on a big old trip. They're going on a road trip. So they have to take him with them. And this is where Dwayne has like these really random, just says a line of dialogue moments where she's like, I'm going to let you out of this asylum now so that we can go on a road trip. And he goes, can I have pancakes?
Yeah. He is such a bad actor.
He's horrible.
Yeah. So I think, and also the weird thing about it is that he's written very poorly in all three movies, where beyond being unable to actually emote, he is given all this exposition and he like, be like, oh no, I cut my brother off myself. Yeah. Oh, I reattached him. Oh, let me remind you of this thing that happened 2 movies ago.
So here's a question, though. Do you think that it's intentional? Like, do you think that they were like, this guy sucks at acting, so let's just continue to make the backstory more and more complicated? And because every time that he gives the exposition lines, the people who react to it are always giving the most appropriate reaction to that delivery. Like, they're just like...
I'm sure it's intentional.
You think they did it on purpose? Like when I used to popcorn the stuttering kids in class during reading?
Popcorn?
Wait, you never did popcorn, Scott?
What the fuck is popcorn?
So you would start reading a book. Like it would be class reading time in like elementary school, and you'd be reading, and then at any time you go like, popcorn, Scott, and then you'd have to start reading where I left off.
That must be a Philly thing.
But Brian apparently did it only to the stuttering kids. Like,
you know what? You deserve everything you got in elementary and junior high. All right, Brian? Fucking asshole.
It was great. Because it's like you have a stutter, and just a little science lesson. Most people have a stutter, but when they get caught off guard, it just kicks in faster. And then I would do it mid-paragraph. And then they went to the store. Popcorn Steve!
You're awful.
I told you, he was a bad person.
He got better.
Belial's managed to impregnate the female head that's also living in this house.
Don't we get, like, the sex scene, but extended?
Yeah.
I haven't seen this movie in 20 years. I haven't seen the second one in 20 years. So I just popped on a movie, and it went right into that. It went right into Krang, fucking female Krang.
Hey, there's more Krang later on. So they're going to take a bus trip to visit Uncle Hal, who's the only doctor that the grandma trusts. And this is where we get a Frankenhooker reference. Because the sheriff shows up at Uncle Hal's house and he goes, "Hey, man, that remote control lawnmower that little Hal made me is pretty great."
Nice. I did not catch that, and I've watched this movie 3 times. I hopefully never again, but yeah.
And this is where we first get the, like, they really build to Little Hal.
Like, oh, my God. Like, like, Little Hal is ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I've got so many notes for later on with Little Hal. But so, like, Little Hal, it starts off with there's, like, a painting, and it's, like, a baby with, like, multiple arms. And you're like, oh, okay. And then, like, the sheriff's leaving, and Little Hal's sitting on the roof of the house, and he waves at him, and he seems like a normal enough guy. So you're just like, all right, like, I wonder what Little Hal's like below the waistline, since he seems normal up top. And that's where we also see
this
Little
Hal. What Matt asks when he meets girls in real life, too.
This is where we also meet Little Hal's like instant coffee making machine.
So long.
I know.
It's excruciating.
He has all of these things that, like, they all zoom into the shot. Like, yeah, nothing all, like.
And they're not even that cool. It's like, thanks, Rick Moranis.
So this is where we get to the probably the only reason that I picked this particular movie, when Grandma Ruth is just like, well, Frederick's really nervous while driving, so let's sing him a song because the radio's broken. And all of a sudden, trombones start coming out of places, yep. And they just start singing this, like, because you've got personality, personality.
But we have to talk a little bit about all the mutants that are on the bus, because Grandma goes through and asks every single one by name how they are, what they need, blah, blah, blah. And she's like going along, and they all have relatively normal, although eccentric names. And then she comes up to the catfish lady, and her name's fucking Mackerel.
The best part about that, though, is that you have that scene on the bus, and then 10 minutes later, you have Uncle Hal introducing himself to every single one of the freaks as well. Like, it's really driving in what their names are. Frederick, still the best freak. He's so good.
Frederick always like, whoa! Is that Frederick? Yeah.
Driving the bus, and he's just like, whoa!
But I also really like, Cedric, you brought your lettuce.
That was a good
food
line.
Or is that like it's support vegetable? I don't know.
And then they pull over to the drugstore, and this is where Grandma Ruth meets the sheriff, and this is where Dwayne meets the sheriff's daughter, and this is where we also see that Belial's basket is just sitting on a U-Haul, not strapped down or anything.
Yeah, and why isn't he allowed near his Prego girlfriend?
Because he doesn't want to be near Dwayne.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, thank you for bringing some logic into this hot mess.
Jesus Christ, Scott.
Attention!
They get to Uncle Hal's house, and this is where the next quote from Dwayne is that I wrote down, where he goes, oh, you must be Dwayne. He goes, can I borrow a Swiss Army knife?
What an asshole.
He's so bad in this movie. He's later on in this movie, Grandma Ruth's like, I'm going to let you out of the restraints if you promise not to run away. And he's like, I promise, I'm better now. And then immediately runs away. Like,
they obviously are playing it for laughs by this, yeah, by the third film. I think that the first one, the guy who plays Dwayne is just so, I don't want to say the A word, but he's very much not a good actor. And I think maybe on the spectrum, like, I don't know, but
yeah,
he's just a nut.
He goes all out. Like, I enjoy watching him in these movies because, like, what I can say about him is the same thing that I'll say about Annie Ross, who plays Grandma Ruth. They go like 110% in everything that they're doing in these scenes versus like the sheriff's daughter, who's practically yawning through every line of dialogue. Like,
yeah, she's so bad. And then and then they have to have her be like a dominatrix.
But well, she doesn't know what a dominatrix is.
I wrote down that, like, I feel like the only reason she got this role was that she was the only actress willing to do the dominatrix stuff. Like, okay, there had to have been other people that auditioned that were better for this role.
She may have been the only actress willing to do the dominatrix stuff, but two women agreed to be a part of Belial's sex scene.
Oh my God. I love the fucking sex scene. It's amazing.
Belial's sex scene, which also, I'm not sure if any of you guys stuck around, but the movie has a post-credit sequence like it's a Marvel film.
I missed that.
Where the credits end and then it just cuts to Belial smoking a cigarette between the two girls from the sex stream.
Oh my God, dude.
So, wait. So, we're getting ahead of ourselves with talking about the sheriff's daughter, but when they get to the house, it's when Eve, the female basket monster, is about to give birth, and little Hal is videotaping it, and it's just
we're too far. There's at least two more things.
Because that is the best scene.
I have a ton of notes because that scene's great.
Okay.
So we find out before that happens, we find out that little Hal is actually Grandma Ruth's son.
This movie director just loves yelling. It's like the all aboard.
And they start to have surgery, which Uncle Hal is supposed to be doing, but Belial sees a doctor and loses his mind and just like rips Uncle Hal's face off.
Yeah,
which is when he goes in.
He's like Thor in Bad Moon. He's just like, he has like a blood rage. He's like,
So like now we're at the scene where I have one of the many quotes, which is 3 + 1 more, that equals 4. Put that cat down.
Yeah, the put the cat down's great.
Yeah.
The grandmother has to take full responsibility for the doctor getting attacked. Because how do you forget the one thing that Belial hates? It's like very simple. Like my friend Khalil, who's black, hey, you probably shouldn't meet my grandfather because there's one thing that he doesn't like that I'm not going to get into, but apply that same logic to Belial.
Oh my God. It's insanity. His commentary is crazy. And you know what this actor did after this? And it makes a ton of sense.
What?
He created the show Third Rock from the Sun. So like
that actor?
Yeah.
God damn it. French Stewart, get out of my show. He keeps coming up.
He wrote most of the episodes, he produced them, but like I'm watching this and I'm like, man, his overacting is literally all of the acting in Third Rock from the Sun.
So I have a legit question here. I'm not just pulling your guys' legs. Should I rewatch Third Rock from the Sun?
Probably.
I haven't watched it. The only joke that I remember from Third Rock from the Sun is that they would constantly make references to all of John Lithgow's movies in random episodes. And one of the jokes was that he got on a plane and he looks out and he goes, there's something on the wing of the plane. And they said, yeah, it's the engine. And like played it like real down.
But was he in the Twilight Zone movie?
He was in the Twilight Zone movie for that skit. But then the supreme leader of their alien race is William Shatner.
Oh
and
my
he
God.
Goes and he's like, how was your flight? And he's like, I saw something on the wing of the plane. He goes, I did too. Which is like,
but that's like the cheapest way to make that joke.
Oh, yeah. It worked for me because I'm like, oh, you got John Lithgow, who was in the Twilight Zone movie, and William Shatner, who was that exact same character in the Twilight Zone episode of that skit. But yeah, like that was the only thing I remember is they always would try to work in references to like Harry and the Hendersons and probably Buckaroo Banzai somewhere in there. Like anything that they could that tied to John Lithgow's career, they would make a reference to it.
I still haven't forgiven you for Buckaroo Banzai.
So yeah, we got way off track. But yeah, the commentary from Hal, top notch. Like
it's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, they just set up the camera and said,
and they were like, go nuts, yeah.
Because he's like, he's yelling about like, oh, the pizza's over there. Oh, there's seven. There's seven. Oh, there's another one.
Oh, he says, you deserve an Ovarian ovation of the highest order. Yes, yes.
So they have 12 babies. And like they're okay. They're not the most impressive special effect in this movie by a long shot.
At George in this shit.
But so Dwayne gets arrested, and the police officers kidnap the babies and then kill the girl, thinking that it was his brother. And this doesn't go over well with Belial, which leads to the second best scene in the movie. The police massacre, which is just fantastic.
Yeah. So I want to point something out. There's a very, very obvious Jolt Cola right in front of one of the guys when they're talking
about... You have eyes for Jolt Cola, man. You're the only one that catches when it's in these scenes.
Three movies now in the West?
You bring it up all the time. You ask if it's a Canadian thing.
I've never even tasted Jolt Cola. I just see it all the time.
I used to drink Jolt Cola all the time.
Yeah, and then you had some serious drug problems, so maybe that's what I miss.
Oh, wow, this Jolt Cola is giving me energy.
I'm so glad we can laugh about it.
I remember my biggest memory of Jolt Cola was that there's like an episode of either it's like the Brack Show or Space Ghost Coast to Coast or C-Lab, one of those. Where it just turns in the middle of the episode, it just turns into a live action Jolt Cola like commercial with a dude in a full Space Ghost costume walking along the beach crying because he cannot find a Jolt Cola.
What the fuck? Like,
I don't know. I feel like that's like that soda that just became like the butt of a joke. Like it's kind of like how Arby's became like the go-to joke for like awful fast food service.
Well, because Jolt Energy was really good, but Jolt Cola tasted like fucking battery acid.
But yeah, so let's break down this police station massacre, because to just state that it happens is not enough. So I will say that Frank Hennenlocker had a lot of issues where he had to cut like 10 minutes of footage out of the film because they wanted him to cut all of the gore effects. Which is
why people watch this shit. Yeah.
So like there's two cops that get killed off camera, which I think probably would have been like really horrific in the actual movie as well. But it's interesting to watch these because these death scenes are like really kind of cartoonish and tame because they lack so much blood.
Yeah.
So there's three cops that he massacres very quickly. And the one is he chokes him to the point that his eyeballs and teeth explode out of his face.
Do you guys remember those real Ghostbusters action figures?
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like. Oh, God, I love those toys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I absolutely had a total blast when I had a couple of those as a kid. And then again, when Megan's mom sold her house and we had like a garage sale, moving sale, and we sold off Megan's brother's toys. He had, because like this is just a point of contention for Megan forever, is that her brother got everything he wanted. He's the older brother and he was doted upon and like blah blah blah. He got every toy he wanted. Megan was like, I just want to go to summer camp. You know? But he had like every toy. He had all the Turtles, all the He-Man, all the Thundercats and Silverhawks and all the Ghostbuster shit. And so I got to like play with those toys before we sold them. And it was
they wouldn't have gotten sold if I was the person running that flea market or yard sale. I'd be like, no, no, these have a nice home in my house now.
Yeah, I feel like I almost should have kept them because somebody bought an entire Tupperware full of all those show toys that I just mentioned, plus turtles and Ninja Turtles, for like $100. I'm sure that you could get three times that on eBay.
Yeah, but if you're just selling them individually, oh, you could have made a killing on that.
Yeah, and also Instagram, there are people that sell those for like $12 a toy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And, yeah, so, but like, so good toys, yeah.
Great toys. So then he rips off the other cop's head, and then he like cartoonishly is just running around with his puppet hands trying to find his head.
Yeah.
And then the least effective is the turning the head backwards, where it's literally just like, hey, let's just throw this mask on backwards.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So bad.
And then he also, while he's twisting the head backwards, that cop has a shotgun. He shoots and kills the sheriff's daughter, who falls and smushes one of the babies.
And that's then, actually the perfect word for it. Smushes.
Yeah.
So then Dwayne grabs Belial in his basket and they're running out, but the sheriff sees him and shoots a shotgun at him and hits Belial. And this is where we see little Hal helping him out. He's going to fix Belial and he's going to give him something to help him get his vengeance. And this is where the two off-screen murders happen. But we later find out that Belial is literally in the Krang suit.
Yeah. It's so great. It's the best part of this movie. It really is. I hate to admit that it's better than the Little Hal's little monologue. But the best part is when the Elvis impersonator cop, the pretty boy cop.
Yeah, I wrote a note. I said, I sing this exact same shower. It's like, probably do the shower, gonna make my face look
But you do that because you watch this movie all the time. This is like a twice a year movie for you. But then I love that the pretty boy cop gets grabbed by the claw arm and pulled back like three times while Dwayne's eating cornflakes or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
There is no horror in this movie.
No, not at all. I don't even remember how the sheriff falls into the basket of babies and they all eat him.
Yeah.
And then
they're hungry.
Yeah. And then there's the weird Geraldo parody where he's like, freaks, and the women who love them. And then Grandma Ruth just takes over, and they drop a basket on Geraldo's head, so Belial eats him, and she's just like, we're not hiding in the shadows anymore, motherfuckers. Like, she's not the sweet old grandma anymore. She is pissed.
Yeah, I have a question, though. So, did you guys notice, and I think this might just be the fact that it's not a very good prop, but the sheriff, like, shoots at Belial when he's in his Krang suit, and these metal plates like pew,
block it.
Belial looks so surprised when that happens, and I can't tell if he's actually shocked that the suit did it, or it's just the fact that Belial always looks surprised.
It's so funny because it feels like as these movies go on, they tried to do things where the faces could omit a little bit more, like
emote.
Belial's girlfriend is like a human person's head. Thing.
I would love to know what that woman looks like in real life, because I bet that she was like, I think that she was probably pretty, and but she's like in this movie as a horrible creature.
But like Belial, they tried it once in like part two and they're like, nope, I don't like the ability of him having like an actual face. Let's go back to the remote control one.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So Jade liked this.
She was entertained by it. I mean, Jade doesn't watch the movies with me, you know, like Jade's like, oh, you have to watch a movie for the podcast. Perfect. This gives me to actually clean because you're a fucking bum. So she'll like clean. And
the thing is, she's angry cleaning. I've done angry cleaning when your significant other is like doing something and you want to be having fun too. And you're like, motherfucker, like I want to be having fun.
Yeah. And it sucks because let's be honest, guys, like we enjoy doing this. It's not important. This podcast, like, it's not like, look, I need to watch these movies. I got to record with my brother and my friend tomorrow. You know?
Maybe you just need to think about it like it is important.
Yeah. I mean,
I know I schedule it out like it's the most important thing of my week.
I know. Because
it usually is.
But you
all, like, mad.
But mom thinks that everything we do is the most important thing. So it's easy to use that.
And that's like, such a fucking burn. Oh, my God.
Well, I didn't even mean it to be that way.
You're so mean.
Oh, I did not mean it to sound. Oh, man. Take that out.
No, you keep that shit or I quit until next week.
Yeah, like you'll even remember a month and a half. No, from
no,
now.
Fuck no, yeah. And then it'll like kill. It'll come up when you eventually release this episode. It'll come up. I'll have my balls off in the car. I'll message you guys and be like,
I'll wake up in the morning to a quote from our episode.
Yeah, just so you listeners know, we are the most narcissistic people ever because we record an episode and then a month later it gets released. And we just message each other about how funny we were.
But to our credit, 90% of the time, we're congratulating each other.
Yeah.
On it's not like, oh, it's, hey, I was so
like,
funny.
Man, I killed it. It's like, yeah, Brian, you knocked it out of the park again.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Remember when I said that thing? That was pretty funny.
Oh, shit.
Hey, one quick question before we get that to the what did we watch? Did we do Basket Case 1, year 1, Basket Case 2, year 2, Basket Case 3 is year 3? Well, no, Basket Case 3 is...
Yeah.
Or is Basket Case 3 year 4 now?
I would still consider it year... It's the first episode after our 3-year anniversary. I consider this still part
close
of
enough.
Year 3.
Close enough. We're recording it during year 3.
Yeah, so we...
All right, so I guess that year 4, we're going to start a new trilogy. I guess it's going to be It's Alive. I don't really want to, but
that's the problem. I'm definitely picking an It's Alive movie, but the first two are not very fun to watch, but the third one is bonkers. So
yeah,
I really want to watch that one.
I know. It's on the list. It's probably in your top next 4 or 5 picks, I'm sure. And I'm okay with that, but I don't want to watch all three.
No, they're not... That's the thing though. Basket Case, I think, is the rare trilogy where it's like all three of these movies are so uniquely more bizarre than the previous one that it only makes sense to watch the whole trilogy. Most of it, it's like they go off the fucking deep end or go into all these other like weird side things that don't make any, like, there's no reason for us to ever watch all of the Howlings. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, God. That might be my breaking point. Holy shit. I watched the Puppet Masters before I watched the Howlings.
The only other Howling that is moderately worth our time is the third one because it's so different than all the other movies and it's actually semi-good. But
it can't be any better than Howling 2, man.
I would say it's better than how. There's a scene where a ballerina turns into a werewolf mid dance.
Oh man, you're kind of selling it for me now.
And also, they're not really wolves; they're like were kangaroos.
Oh, that's the marsupials one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm interested.
Are you looking to travel beyond the void?
This is Alex from Beyond the Void Horror Podcast. Join me and my co-host Brittany Bloodshed every week for 2 episodes on Monday and Thursday. Do you like to drink, laugh, and talk horror? Well, so do we. We make up funny skits, horror shots each week, news, and rotating segments on Monday like Great Plots where we make up movies on the spot, interviews, reviews, and a lot more. Plus, on Thursdays, we break down 2 horror movies with jokes and loads of trivia. Go to longlivethevoid.com to check out Beyond the Void Horror Podcast now.
All right, so what did you guys watch this week?
I watched the 5th season of Arrested Development. And
oh, thank you for taking the hit for us.
Oh, no, it was great. It was great. Now, I don't know. How do you feel about the show itself? You just don't like the show, or did you not like the 4th season?
No, I love seasons one and two. Season 3 didn't really do it for me. Season 4, I didn't ever finish. And I have no interest in season 5. I just don't think it's just awkward, and I don't really like super awkward humor anymore. I think that seasons 1 and 2 were a little bit more about situational comedy and less about just putting people in these situations and having them be like socially inept.
So it's, I didn't really like the fourth one. I love this one. And there's still like the awkwardness, but it's a lot of situational comedy, and it's really, it's got a really political agenda in a very funny way, you know? Like,
well, I hope so, because the Bluths are very obviously a very certain, very obviously a certain first family.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And it was, so the one scene they're in Mexico helping these immigrants that got shipped back to Mexico, and the guy's talking to her, and he's like, yeah, these people, although they're Mexican, were raised in your country and that's all they know. And now they're shipped here and they don't know anything, all thanks to your president, Barack Obama. because it's during the running the election. And the thing is, before Donald Trump was, it's about Donald Trump running for president in the background, but it was their idea to build the wall. And then this is the last spoiler alert.
Oh, the Bluths idea?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it's the video of Donald Trump giving a speech and he's like, we're going to build a wall. And she's like, that was our idea. And, he's, and then it cuts back to the TV and he's like, and Mexico's going to pay for it. And she raises her eyebrow and goes, nice twist.
Okay. You know, you actually sold me on it. Is it only 8 episodes?
It's only 8 episodes. It's, I guess it's 16, or they're going to just do season 6, but they released 8 now.
Okay.
They're going to have to release 8 soon because I'm sure that the dad is going to have trouble as far as working soon.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're already shot. Jeffrey Tambo, whatever the hell his name is.
He's another one of the guys who got hit pretty bad with the Me Too stuff.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah. So.
It's so, yeah. Okay, this is the most fucked up thing about that whole situation is that I can't even keep track of all the guys who've been rapists.
Yeah.
I know.
It's fucked up, man. Actually, I'm going to burn through a bunch with like 2 sentences per, all right?
All right, go.
I rewatched It, and it holds up. Although I think that my glowing recommendation when we did the In Theaters Now relies upon the fact that it was in a theater, because I think it really works so well in a theater, and it's a little less impressive when you're not immersed in the experience. I was watching it on my computer screen, like my desktop screen, so not quite as good at a small scale, but still great. Awesome movie. Can't wait for part 2. And I am so stoked that Jessica Chastain is playing the adult Bev, because I fucking love Jessica Chastain. Then I watched Cold Hell on Shudder. Have I mentioned that before?
No.
Nope.
Okay. So it is a woman revenge flick. And it's, I believe, a German movie. But it's very sociopolitical. Very good. But more of a thriller and less of a horror movie. It kind of toes the line between the two because it's gory, but it's mostly a thriller, and she gets to beat the shit out of a bunch of dudes. It's pretty cool. Highly recommend it. I watched The Alchemist Cookbook because Katie suggested it to me months ago, and I put it on my Shudder list, and it's not good.
Not what I expect you to say.
I really disliked it. I watched the entire thing without Scott Rogering it, and I was like, I want my hour and 40 minutes back. It's just one dude mugging for the camera, and I guess he wrote and directed the whole thing. I don't know why. I actually messaged her at the end, and I'm like, you're the one who told me to watch this, right? And she said, yeah. And I said, why? It's not good. And she said, yeah, I don't remember why I suggested it to you either. So fuck you, Katie. Anyway, I watched Solomon Kane on Netflix, which is kind of like – the same look as Sleepy Hollow.
Case 3.
No. Sleepy Hollow. It's like a kind of action horror based in the early America time. And it was so bad, I fell asleep twice. I actually didn't finish it. It's very pretty to look at and fall asleep to. I watched The Titan on Netflix, which is kind of sci-fi plus body horror. And I can't remember who the main character is, somebody famous. And it's bad. It's really bad. It's about like we've ruined the Earth. And instead of trying to fix the fucking Earth, we are going to send modified humans to the moon Titan. But they have to basically become no longer human. And it's so dumb. So dumb. But then I watched a really good movie that's not horror called Professor Marston and the Wonder Women. And it is a semi-dramatized version of events discussing Professor Marsden, the guy that invented the lie detector, and Wonder Woman. And it talks about his polyamorous relationship with his wife and another woman. And it's very good, has a couple little sexy scenes, and Megan suggested it. Actually, she watched it one night. I think it might have been when I was at Mania. I can't remember, but she watched it. And then I came back from wherever I was and she said, do you want to watch it? And so like 2 or 3 days later, we watched it again and she still loved it. But really good flick. It's based in the early 40s, I want to say. Really good stuff.
I wanted to see it. I heard good things about it.
Yeah, yeah. I highly recommend it. It's got Luke Evans, the guy that's in No One Lives, and all I see is him as a serial killer, but he's a great actor. He killed it. Such a good movie. And then the last thing I wanted to mention was that I watched, on the multiple suggestions from the Shockwaves podcast, so thanks, Becca, I watched Exorcist 3 finally, and I hated every minute of it.
Oh, I think it's like okay, but I think that it's mostly people just remember that one really well done jump scare and nothing else.
Is it the one with the shears and the
long shot of the nurse like walking through the hospital and just out of nowhere they pop out?
Yeah. I mean, and I like Grima Wormtongue, whatever his real name is. I don't even like Lord of the Rings that much, but that's the name of the. And he also plays, you know, Chucky's voice and, Brad Dorf. But he's great and he just is, it's his movie. But I did not like, I just don't like William Peter Blatty. He's a fucking nutcase. I grew up Catholic. And that's what they were saying on Shockwaves, is that maybe their exorcism is scarier for Catholics. It's not. I mean, I don't believe any of that bullshit now, but even when I was Catholic, I had a curiosity towards exorcism and the concept of demons. But like, why would a demon fuck with humans and priests? And it doesn't make any sense. It's so stupid.
I never really loved the first Exorcist. Like,
I like the crap walk. Elements. That's all I like about it.
See, I appreciate I feel like both Exorcist movies are movies that I own. I don't own the second one, but like Exorcist and Exorcist 3 are like movies that I own and I appreciate, but I very rarely, if ever, feel a need to put them on and watch. Like, it's just kind of like, yeah, they're here. If anyone ever wants to borrow it, I have it. But like,
but that's half of really
you guys got a lot of fucking nerve. I just need to say it. I really don't care for the Exorcist movies. I gotta say, Basket Case is probably my favorite trilogy. Fuck you, dude.
I never said that. My favorite trilogy is Back to the Future.
My favorite trilogy is Star Wars. What the fuck are you talking about? Back to the Future is not better than Star Wars.
Back to the Future 3 is better than Return of the Jedi. Boom.
What? My arm tattoo has a lot to say to you about this.
What, are you going to hug me when I see you in a couple weeks?
Dude, every time I see you, I'm going to hug you. You know this.
That's true. I know. I was just thinking positively about it. Well, Scott, you just ran through that entire list of movies. It's almost as if you don't have to do a what did we watch this week for like 2 months.
No, I've got more.
But I've only got one thing. Obviously, we record these super early in advance sometimes. So I saw this in the theaters, but I'm pretty sure this episode's coming out right around when it's coming out on DVD. I saw Deadpool 2, and it was really fucking fun, and I enjoyed that movie a lot. I don't know if I liked it more than the first Deadpool, but there's definitely some really hilarious blink-and-you'll-miss-it cameos just scattered throughout that movie. And when I say, like, blink-if-you-miss-it, I mean, like, A-listers popping up for half of a second, where if you accidentally blink while it's happening, you'll miss that this, like, highest paid actor in America is in this movie.
So pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. So definitely worth checking out. If you didn't see it in the theaters, grab the DVD. It is a really fun, good time. I agree with something that past guest Jonathan London said, where he basically said Deadpool 2 is his favorite X-Men movie. Because it just feels more like an X-Men movie than most of the X-Men movies that have come out in the last couple of years. But well, that's...
I was actually thinking that you were going to say that you were agreeing with him that, you know, there should be a Pizza Boy savior in every X-Men movie.
I mean, that would also be a huge plus. Did either of you guys see Deadpool 2?
No.
I didn't get a chance to, and so I'm just waiting for VOD with bated breath because I cannot wait to see it. But I wasn't about to be like, hey, Megan, come see Deadpool 2 with me.
I haven't been to the movies in a while.
Yeah, I might go to the movies tonight. I don't know.
Because you're movie pass.
Yeah, I might see Solo. I might see Breaking In. I've been thinking about seeing Breaking In.
You don't want to see Upgrade? I actually genuinely want to see Upgrade.
You're going to have to cut that because I think that we need to do Katie suggested we do an In Theaters Now about Hereditary and Upgrade.
Oof,
I personally think that Upgrade is a better discussion for us because it's kind of going to be bombastic. So we should coordinate that off.
Yeah, we'll figure that out off the episode, obviously. Yeah. but yeah, no, Deadpool 2 was definitely worth my time and it will be worth your time. So that was Basket Case 3 from 1990, is picked by me. We are just gearing up in exactly 1 month. We'll be starting our listener submitted month. So we have our picks for this month, but we are doing two a year. So message us at hmnpodcast@gmail.com. Get those suggestions in. I saw a couple coming in recently that have a lot of potential. So we'll see. We'll see what we end up going with. Yeah, we're back. I'm sorry for that long 3 week wait where you had to listen to nothing but bonus materials, but we're back, baby. We're ready to do this. And we'll be back with another movie that I think has to do with babies. I haven't watched it yet to confirm, but I think it has to do with babies. Scott, does it have to do with babies?
I don't want to spoil anything, but it's gooey.
Okay, that works for me. Anyway, we'll be back. Don't forget to, you know, donate to the Patreon page and hit us up on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. We're pretty easy to find. I don't feel like giving out all of those different handles, but always visit our website at hmnpodcast.com for links to all of those sweet places. All right, we'll be back next week.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.